right. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to start a new series for Sunday mornings for the next couple weeks. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to use one of our Bibles underneath the seat in front of you. And that's on page number 556. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Or if you're using one of our pew Bibles there, it's page 556. While you're finding your place, I want to mention just a few things. Next Sunday, Jeff has already mentioned it. Next Sunday, the Huffstetler is going to be with us, and he's going to teach a combined adult from teen to adult Sunday school up here in the auditorium, and be regular classes with the younger kids that day, next Sunday. Also, today, we kicked off our sign-ups for the Fall Music Festival. We're going to have the Fall Music Festival here on Sunday night, October 28th. And if you sing, play an instrument, play the radio. No, I'm just kidding. Some people, I just play the radio. Be fun if you had somebody come to church and play the radio. But no, if you sing, play an instrument, something like that, see Beth Polly, our pianist, and she'll get you signed up. Make it by October 24th, that Wednesday, for a deadline to sign up so we can get a program set up. And it's just a really good evening of just a mix of different styles. We'll have handbell, choir, banjo picking. I don't know who's going to play the banjo, but I'm just kidding. But we got that going on. Also, I put some calendars up front for our events in October, everything going on in our church. I've done an October calendar up. I've placed it on the table, on the information table. And you can also go to our website. Got a lot of up-to-date things there as well. Well, we're going to introduce this new series. This Sunday marks 7 weeks to Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving weekend. And, of course, during this time of year, we're thinking about harvest parties and bonfires and trick-or-treat and all that other stuff. But I want us as a church, over the next 7 Sundays, to think on terms of Thanksgiving, being thankful Christians. And I think Christians should be the most thankful people in the world for this one reason. If you're here and you know Christ as your Savior, you've been delivered from death and hell by the power of Holy Spirit, by the Lord Jesus Christ. But however, this crazy society we live in can bombard us with just craziness. And we can forget to be thankful at times due to the pollution of our spirit, our soul, and our minds. In other words, I'm going to do a series called Thanksgiving Pollution. Let me pull that up. Boom, here we go. Thanksgiving Pollution. We're going to do this series. And I want to take a few weeks and address some things that can pollute our mind, our soul, and spirit. And the first of these I want to look at today is toxic thoughts. Your thought life, the negativity, the toxic thoughts that can come into our minds on any given moment, on every given day. And we're going to look at this morning, and my title is Overcoming Toxic Thoughts. Let's look here in the Scripture, chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Look at verse 3 through verse 6. It says this. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Let's look at this passage this morning. And let's talk about toxic thoughts. Father, I thank you so much for your word. And I thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the song service this morning. I pray now that you bless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to begin this morning with a self-test. I want you to ask yourself, be honest with yourself, 4 questions in way of introduction. 4 questions. And answer in your heart and your soul. Look inside your mind, look inside your soul, look inside your heart. Think about your thoughts. Be brutally honest with yourself. First question is this. Do you battle or do I battle with negative thoughts about yourself, other people, or life in general? Do you battle with negative thoughts about yourself, other people, life in general? Second question. Are you often consumed with fearful, worrisome thoughts, putting your faith in bad things happening rather than good things happening? Are you consumed with fearful, worrisome thoughts? Third question. Do you find yourself discontented, wishing life was always different or better? And a fourth question is this. Are you occasionally or often critical, finding something wrong with a lot of people, a lot of places, or a lot of things? Four questions there. Ask yourself these things. If you've answered yes to one or more of all these questions, your life is being infected by toxic thoughts. You're losing the battle of your mind. The first thing that can creep into our lives in order to pollute that Thanksgiving spirit, that spirit of thankful and joyousness, is that of negative thoughts, toxic thoughts, false beliefs about ourselves. One of the greatest stumbling blocks to spiritual growth and that spirit of contentment and thanksgiving emerges, we get stuck in those negative, untrue, impure, toxic thoughts instead of going to and focusing on God's Word. We lose momentum because we get tired of trying harder and feeling hopeless. I'm convinced when we're left to our negative thought life, if we dwell on those negative thoughts, those toxic thoughts, we lose sight of spiritual truths that can set us free. Sadly, many of us refuse to push through all that clamor and distractions of those negative thoughts and false beliefs that can bombard us. From my personal study of God's Word, and from my own experiences, as well as the shared experiences of others in the ministry, I've identified four kinds of toxic thoughts that can poison our minds. And they're the answers to all four of these questions. If you answered yes to the first question, do you battle with negative thoughts about yourself, other people, or life in general? You struggle with pessimism. It's pessimism. Pessimism is a toxic thought that produces chronically negative thoughts. Maybe in your self-talk you tell yourself, I don't have what it takes. No matter how hard I try, I can't get ahead. No matter what I do, I come short. My life's always going to stink. Or maybe you're often overwhelmed with too much to do. We're all overwhelmed with too much to do. And I always have to tell myself, how do you eat a big hamburger? One bite at a time, you know? And even when we're eating that hamburger, one bite at a time, right? We're still overwhelmed with so much to do. And you just tell yourself, I can't do it all. There's way too much. All I do is give, give, give. I'm dry. And it could be the mundane areas of your life you have these thoughts. Or you find yourself saying, I'm no good. I'll always fail. I'll never amount to anything. Here's the thing about pessimism, negative thoughts. If a grain of truth exists in a particular thought, where you plant the seed determines how or if it will grow. And if you allow the weeds of pessimism to grow in the garden too long, it's going to choke out the good stuff and smother your joy. Second thing, if you answered yes, if you're often consumed with fearful, worrisome thoughts, putting your faith in bad things happening good, you struggle with anxiety. And a close cousin to negative thinking is fearful thinking. And you may be even quote the verse that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, even though your thought life was haunted by those fearful spirits. Like a lot of people, we're haunted or we're consumed with these economic fears. What's going to happen to the economy? Or do I think I could lose more off my retirement? Or what if taxes go up again? Or what if company downsizes, I get laid off? We have those fears. How about relational fears? You love your spouse, but he or she continues to disappoint you, or a marriage isn't what you hoped it would be, or you're trying to work things out, or will he or she ever pay attention to me like they once did, or what if I get married? How can I trust somebody? Things like that. You have those. Or maybe you're a parent or a grandparent and you're worried about your kids. Your grandkids. You shouldn't worry. But if you got kids, you just worry about them. What if my children get mixed up in the wrong crowd? I hope they're not drinking, doing drugs, running with that wrong crowd. You worry about those things. I can't sleep at night thinking about the dangers facing my children. That's anxiety. There's a difference, by the way, being concerned for your kids and being worried. Do you find yourself discontented, always wishing life were different? That's discontent, which pollutes our thinking with those envious thoughts. Although most people today alive in America are more blessed than many in the world, it's so easy to be consumed with discontent. You know, maybe it's about body or appearance. I don't like myself. I wish to look different. Or maybe you have to have somebody with you. I wish my husband were better this. I wish my wife were better this. I wish we had children. Or I wished I had this. You start being discontented. And then you got the fourth thing. If you're occasionally often critical, that's called criticism. Criticism, by the way, many times criticism comes when we are comparing to different things. A lot of times comparing apples to oranges, we wind up criticizing the apple or the orange. But perhaps even not even knowing you're critical of everything that's in your path. You can find fault with people, companies, buildings, churches, today's lunch menu, anything else you encounter. You meet somebody and instantly think, I can't believe she or he's dressed like that. Or you look at somebody and say, I'd never do that. What a jerk. Or he's so full of himself, or she's so full of himself. Or at work, you might find yourself saying, man, this place is a zoo. The people I work with are a bunch of idiots. Or you'll say that to yourself. I'm just being honest with you this morning. You walk into a church for the first time and you're always looking for something to criticize. You know, these people aren't friendly at all, or the music's too loud, or the pastor's so boring, or the coffee in Sunday school is weak, and the donuts are even still in Sunday school. You know, we can always find things wrong with stuff. We naturally do those things. This is a natural man here. Pessimism, anxiety, discontent, criticism. All pollute a heart of thanksgiving. Any one of these thoughts can be deadly. And they can imprison us. If we want to break into that freedom of God's truth, we're going to have to diagnose our problem. And you can't overcome a sin you can't identify. The root of most sins we commit outwardly are false beliefs we embrace inwardly. In order to experience a life of purity and a clean heart and a thankful spirit, I got two of my favorite Bible verses I want to share with you. I got a lot of those. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then the second thing is, keep thy heart, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. The picture there is, you're downstream, somebody's pouring garbage into your stream and it's coming down and it's polluting. And say, whoa, stop polluting the river. I got to drink from it. That's the idea. What we put in our hearts and our minds are going to come out in our actions. And it pollutes the spirit of thanksgiving. It pollutes that what Christians should be. Most of life's battles this morning are won and lost in your mind. That's why I want to start with the mind. Our thoughts can either be focused on eternal, life-changing, true, or we can get lost in the details of the temporary, stuff that won't matter next week. If you're a Christian, you're fully aware of this battle this morning between your flesh and the Holy Spirit. That ongoing battle is usually fought in your mind. Satan's going to try to send lies in your mind. Scripture tells us how we can be in control. Keep your heart with all diligence. So let's move on to the text this morning. The challenge from this passage of Scripture is that we must remain vigilant against Satan's lies that threaten to corrupt our mind with negative thoughts. Each and every moment of every day, whether you're sitting in front of television, internet, maybe social media, I don't care what it is, you can be bombarded with negative, critical thoughts. And some of them are lies. Worldly philosophy, it just comes through and it's lies. And it affects your heart and your soul, and it just drives you crazy at times. And we got to know this morning what we're fighting against, what we're fighting for, and how to spot the enemy. And Paul makes our strategy clear and concise here in this passage. In the context of this passage, The Apostle Paul is writing to a divided church. A church that was resisting his authority as an apostle. A church that was being seduced by false teachers and teaching. In this section of the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul's challenging those false teachers, those rebellious people in that church, and he's enforcing, he's defending his authority as an apostle. Now keep in mind here, he's not defending himself personally, he's defending his ministry. He's defending his authority that God gave him. He was not involved in a personality contest with other ministers. His enemies did not hesitate to accuse him falsely, nor did they hesitate to promote themselves. It was the worldly attitude and philosophy of the Corinthians that forced Paul to defend himself. And in verses 1 and 2, his accusers accuse him of being very courageous and bold while he's writing, but when he's with them, he's really kind of meek and mild and humbled. But you know what, Paul, he said, the purpose of founding this church was to exalt Christ, not myself. How ignorant these Christians were here. They failed to realize true spiritual powers and meekness and gentleness, not throwing your weight around. Some of those false teachers are throwing their weight around and stuff like that. And Paul's showing that. But his answer to this charge is in verse 3 through 6. I want to share with you this morning about this. He reveals here what spiritual warfare is all about. Because these Corinthian Christians, led by some false teachers, judged Paul's ministry by the outward appearance, they completely missed the power that was there. They were evaluating things by the flesh, the outward appearance, not according to the Holy Spirit. Paul took a different approach, almost as if to throw back at him some of their words against him. The apostle stated, certainly, he said in verse 3, we do walk in the flesh, in a sense that he lives like all human beings do. We all grow tired. We all get weary. We all get hungry. We all need food and clothing and shelter. Everybody's like, we walk after the flesh. And to be sure, Paul experienced the same hardships physically that his critics gloried in. He denied, though he walks after the flesh, he denies he wars after the flesh. Though he was human as anybody else, he did not depend on the human, but the divine. The spiritual weapons provided by the Lord. His warfare was not according to the flesh, because he was not fighting against flesh and blood. You cannot fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons. So in verse 3 and 4, we see the warfare. The battle we face every day between our flesh and our spirit. Every day, every morning we wake up. I'm telling you, man, the struggles were real. Most of you got up this morning, you had a busy day yesterday, and you sat and laid in bed and you said, man, this bed feels great. Man, I don't, maybe I could skip this morning. No, I can't. I'm the pastor. I gotta go. I do that, but I don't know if y'all do that or not. It's that flesh and that spirit, right? The word warfare there in verse 4 means campaign. Paul was not simply fighting a little skirmish at Corinth. This was a spiritual, large, satanic campaign. The powers of hell have always been trying to destroy the work of God in each and every church, through each and every pastor, through each and every deacon, through each and every Sunday school teacher. He's trying to thwart the work of God. And he's going to do that until Jesus returns. Therefore, it's important we don't yield any ground to the enemy. He's going to use the world, the flesh, to conflict us to the focal point of our minds. It's our minds. It's won and lost of the mind. That's a war we've got to fight, but we can't do it with fleshly weapons. We've got to do it with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and prayer. And that's where I'll talk about our weapons. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're supplied by God. They're not carnal, but they're powerful. They're capable through God. As Christians, we have stronger weapons than knives and guns and hand grenades. We've got faith. We've got prayer. We've got God's Word. Those are spiritual weapons we can fight against Satan and his lies in this spiritual campaign. But then he talks about the walls. the strongholds in verse 4. Those mighty weapons of God used in prayer, faith, the Word of God, He pulled down, He overpowered, He conquered, He destroyed spiritual strongholds. We can do the same thing in our lives toward our toxic thoughts, because those thoughts build a wall in our minds. Such fortresses were prisons for the minds of men, because the gods of this world, they guard the bars that hold them. Only spiritual weapons, more effective than theirs, can set the captives free. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have any walls in your mind that it's created due to those toxic thoughts of pessimism, of anxiety, of discontent, of criticism, or not only that, any unbiblical philosophy, the message of this world bombards in your mind? Do you have any walls this morning? Understand, in the focal point of your mind, the spiritual war can and will take place in your mind. There's walls of resistance. I think back to the imagery here of Jericho. Joshua and his men marched around Jericho one time a day, on the seventh day, marched seven times, blew the trumpets, and the walls came down. Just like the walls of Jericho, your mind's got a wall. There's a wall there. And these walls must come down. So how can I overcome the toxic thoughts that creep into my mind? Here's the question I want to bring to you this morning. Looking at verse 5, there's a twofold strategy I want to share with you this morning. When we have those thoughts, those walls they create, let's talk about the first one. We got to tear down the walls. When I was studying this, I thought about that famous quote President Reagan once said to Gorbachev. He said, "Gorbachev, tear down." I can't even talk like him. Tear down. I could talk like him Wednesday night because I couldn't hardly talk. But tear down this wall. I thought about this something. Toxic thoughts create a wall. And he says this. Look at verse 4. Pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. The word pulling down and casting down is the same Greek word that means demolition. You got to do some demolishing. Bible says to renew your mind through the Word of God. Romans 12, 2 and in Ephesians. How do I renew? We got to tear some walls down, man. To renovate your home, if you're going to renovate your home, you got to tear a few walls down. You got to rearrange some stuff. So we're going to, let me share some things to tear down, to demolish. First of all, we got to demolish some strongholds. It says pulling down, casting down of strongholds. The word pulling down means demolition. Completely destroy those strongholds the flesh has in our minds and in our lives. The word stronghold here can be defined as castle or to fortify. This is a literal meaning for how Paul uses this word, a prisoner locked by their deception. Every day in your life, the Satan is deceiving you. Deceiving you through the message of this world. Deceiving you everywhere you go. And he's locking you in there. God wants us to use His weapons. The Holy Spirit. The Word of God. Prayer. Faith. Win those battles of your mind. That's why we're to renew our mind through the Word of God. If you struggle with that stuff, how's your diet of the Word of God each and every day in your life? We've got to use that. Renovate. Demolish. God's truth releases us from the prison of those lies. Unfortunately, many Christians, many believers, are held prison by those toxic lies. We hold the key. We have the key. It's like we just choose just to stay in prison. We got to do some demolishing. We lose sight of it, though. Hey, another thing we got to demolish is this. Imaginations. The pulling down of imaginations. That means reasoning thoughts, how your mind is processing. Your mind's a delicate thing. Our minds, by the way, are really good at imagining things that aren't true. I'm going to be honest with you. That's why I focus so much as a pastor on communication. I try hard to communicate with all of our leaders, try to communicate through the whole chain of command, do some communicating, because in communication, two-way street, because without communication, your mind imagines things that aren't true. That's why we got to sit and talk. I think one of the problems in our society today, we don't sit down and talk about things anymore. We don't talk about things anymore, so everybody imagines things, and all of a sudden your mind just blows it up out of proportion. It's crazy. We've got to demolish those imaginations. It can cause negative thoughts. Let's look at this. Demolish another thing. It says this. He says, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. The demolishing of high things. We are to demolish every high thing or pretension that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This can conclude reasons that oppose the truth of God's word. Pride of intelligence that exalts itself. Now, hey, I love reading. I read a lot of various subjects. Good stuff, man. But I have to submit what I read and what I put in my mind to this book, the obedience of Christ. Because if I don't, I could start believing deceptions. Because a lot of people like to take a little bit of a lie, and wrap it up in truth. We've got to be very, very careful about that. Demolishing every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Paul is attacking the belief in intellectualism, that high-minded attitude that makes people think they know more than they do, which could cause false teaching, false teachers in the church. All in all, we're to demolish our minds, processing negatively, so we begin to process positively the knowledge of God. Any thought that's not from God should be demolished, destroyed, and annihilated. Tear down the walls. Here's the second thing. Then he says in verse 5, casting down, pulling down. Look at this part. Bringing into captivity. I have to take captive as prisoner those toxic thoughts. Tear down the walls those toxic thoughts create and take captive as prisoner those toxic thoughts. The idea is bringing in captivity. Bring into captivity. It says to bring into the captivity. He uses the imagery of an ancient city would conquer another city and take those people captive. But in that manner, in that illustration, we are to take those negative thoughts because every day our minds come. I mean, what comes through our minds each and every day? Are you going to allow? Here's the question: are you going to allow them to take you prisoner, or are you going to take them prisoner? The best illustration I can think of to share with you is this. This is a personal one. All right. The day Stephanie had her heart attack. All right. It's going so fast. Go to the hospital. Boom. Delivers Liam, and I'm sitting there in the operating room holding my hand's wife, and I don't know what's going to happen. The thought comes through my mind, Dean, you're getting ready to be a widow. That's the thought that comes through my mind. You're getting ready to be a widow. And all of a sudden, my mind starts to play tricks on me. And I'm telling you, this is how it works. I'm just as human as anybody else. Your mind plays tricks, and your imagination starts going, well, I'm going to pastor a church and raise two kids, and I got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do all this is going on while I'm thinking, all right? And all of a sudden, another voice, that's my flesh, okay? Then another voice comes, Dean, don't think that way. She's still alive. Don't think that way. She's still alive. So take that thought captive. Don't allow that thought to take you captive. You take that thought captive. There's a lot of, when you go through trials in life like that, there's a lot of thoughts that come through. And they try to, and if you allow them, they'll hold you captive. No. Paul says here to bring those thoughts into captivity. Take those thoughts, bring them into captivity. Cast down those walls, bring those thoughts into captivity. Into the obedience of Christ. That's bringing them into the obedience of Christ. After we capture them, make them obedient to God's truth. And I took that thought that day and said, well, if it happens, God's in control. He's still good. If it doesn't happen, God's still good. So you take that thought and you bring them in captivity. And all of Paul's conclusions, the great questions of life, came into obedience to the gospel of Christ. Instead of being prisoners of war, we take untrue, negative, toxic thoughts captive, make them obedient to God's truth. We can win these mind games on the battlefield of the mind. Let's tie this together, application. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. He says, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let's look in Philippians chapter 4. And if you got one of our pew Bibles, that's on page 563. Philippians chapter 4. Just a few pages over. This is our application this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Many believers today do not realize the church is involved in spiritual warfare. And those who do understand the serious, if you, if you, If you're doing anything for Christ in your life, there's going to be spiritual warfare. The devil's going to try to defeat you, frustrate you, do anything to get you out of church, do anything to get you not doing anything for him. He's going to do it all. You got to know how to fight the battle. Paul showed us how to fight the battle. We try to use human methods to defeat demonic forces, and those methods are doomed to failure. We've got to tear down every wall, and we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Obedience of Christ. How did Joshua tear down the wall of Jericho? You've got the men of Israel. You've got the walls of Jericho. Ain't no way they're getting through the city. God said, be obedient to me and I'll tear it down for you. Right? Joshua and his men fought the battle of Jericho, tore the walls down because they were obedient to Christ, being the Lord. The picture here is a battle. The battle for your mind. Take those spiritual weapons of faith, prayer, the word. Demolish those strongholds. Take them prisoner. Let's look at Philippians 4, 7, and 8. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep, note that word keep, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. When you examine your heart and you find you've got toxic thoughts there, here's what my challenge as a preacher is to you to do this morning. Number one, flag it. Flag it. When you have pessimism, anxiety, discontent, criticism invading your mind, it can blow up. If there's anything in your mind, in your thought life this morning, that you think, that you know, that God would find unholy and displeasing, flag it. Negative, fearful, discontented, critical thoughts are not allowed or tolerated in my mind, in your mind. They are your prisoners. You are not theirs. You flag them. Then once you do that, you replace it. Once you identify them, take action, replace that lie with truth. In Philippians, Paul said, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. As you meditate on God, He'll protect your mind. You focus on things that are true, honest, just. Every thought that comes to your mind, ask yourself, is this thought honest? Is this thought pure? Is this thought true? Is this thought just? Is this thought good report? Is this thought virtuous? If it's not, flag it. Take it prisoner. Break down the wall. That's what you got to do. You might, and if you do this every day, you might not see an overnight change in your life, but if you start directing your thoughts each and every day that way, I promise you over time, your life will be more joyful and peace-filled than you can ever imagine. So there's a choice this morning. There's a choice when we confront our thoughts. If we hear something that's not true, we got to discern the lie. Slow it down to ask ourselves, is this true? Is this thought from God or is this thought I made up myself? Or is it a lie from Satan? It's a step-by-step process for a while, but then it becomes the more you build muscle memory on that, the more, you know, you get it. I close with this illustration. Think about the difference between two birds, a vulture and a hummingbird. Anybody got hummingbird feeders in their backyard? Watch hummingbirds? Yeah. All right. And everybody knows what a vulture is, and many of those types of vultures. Vultures soar high in the sky. They look and they search. What does a vulture find? Dead things. I was in North Carolina last weekend. I saw a bunch of vultures of whatever they were picking up a dead deer just going at them. They find dead things. The ugly, oversized bird doesn't stop until he finds lifeless, rotting roadkill. And I'm trying to put myself in a vulture's shoes, by the way. This is good roadkill. I can't do it. I don't know. But contrast that vulture to a tiny hummingbird. With wings flapping 20 beats a second, what does a small bird find? Not dead things, not stinking things, but sweet, life-giving nectar. Isn't it interesting? Daily, each bird finds what they're looking for. The same's true for you and for me. You can be on a roadkill diet, or you can find nectar every day of your life. It's up to you. You will find what you search for. Decide the destination of your mind this morning. Anytime your mind drifts toward dangerous thoughts, you got to stop. You got to grab those runaway thoughts. Do whatever it takes to get that trash out of your mind. Fill your thoughts with truth and the beauty of God's goodness. Renew your mind through the Word of God. Depend on His Spirit. Allow God to do great things in your life. Look to Christ. Look to Christ this morning. If you have a wall concerning Christ, many times people have a wall concerning Christ and His church. The very thing that can save your life, the Lord Jesus Christ, they have a wall toward. Hey, break out wall. Holy Spirit's working your heart this morning. Maybe there's sin in your life that's causing you to have that wall. My challenge to you this morning, we have an altar. Take some time, talk to the Lord. Break that wall in your life. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. What are you waiting for? He can give you life. You can't do all this, what we talked about this morning, on your own. We need Him every moment, every day of our lives. We need Him. We need His power. Let's bow for prayer, and we'll have our invitation. Father, I want to thank You for this passage of Scripture, and I want to thank You for this challenge as we kick off this series on Sunday mornings. A lot of things surface in our hearts and our minds and our souls that kill that joyful Thanksgiving spirit every Christian should have. Father, I pray that You would be with my words and any negative thoughts, any things we got going on in our minds, Lord, I pray that You would help us to depend on Your Spirit to defeat those negative thoughts in our mind. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ, Lord, I pray You'd work in their heart. Get rid of all those distractions in their mind right now, and I pray that they would accept Christ before it's eternally too late. Lord, we have people in the front row that can take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. Lord, I pray that You work now in this hour. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand, and Jeff's going to lead us in a couple verses of an invitation. Come if you need to. We have somebody to talk to you.
382 as we stand. 382 in your hymnals. Be thou my vision. 300.